We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Our subject for discussion is the use of mechanical instruments of music in worship. Acceptable worship must be by the divine authority of Christ. In John 4:23-24, Jesus said, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." There are two inevitable conclusions from this passage of Scripture. First, the statement clearly implies that there is a true worship and a false worship. Christ said, "When the true worshipper shall worship the Father," indicating that there is both the true and the false worship. According to Matthew 15:8-9, Jesus emphasized that worship, which is according to the doctrines and precepts of men, is vain worship. Vain worship is certainly the opposite to true worship. Secondly, according to the text, worship, in order to be acceptable unto God, must be in spirit and according to the truth. Furthermore, Paul declared in Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." From the statement of inspiration, it is evident that our worship must be in the name of, or by the authority of, the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, did Christ, the apostles, or the Holy Spirit authorize mechanical instruments of music in worship? If so, then Christians should comply with His will. If not, then we must not disobey the will of the Father by engaging in worship authorized by man and not by Christ. What does the New Testament teach? In Ephesians 5:17-19, the apostle wrote, "Wherefore be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." What is the will of the Lord regarding music in the church? The answer is revealed in verse 19 of the same chapter when he said, "Speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." Here the apostle declared that the music is to be vocal, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord. The command is to sing. Never one time is the use of mechanical instruments in worship ever intimated. One may read every verse in the New Testament on the subject of music in the church within a few seconds, and as follows I shall quote them. Matthew 26:30, "When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Acts 16:25, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God." Romans 15:9, "I will confess unto thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." 1 Corinthians 14:15, "I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." 1 Corinthians 14:26, "When you come together, each one of you hath a psalm." Ephesians 5:19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Colossians 3:16, "Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Hebrews 2:12, "In the midst of the church I will sing thy praise." James 5:13, "Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Surely every man must observe the absence of the mechanical instruments in all New Testament scriptures which have been quoted. There is the absence of the authority for its use in Christian worship. Let us consider briefly the origin of mechanical instruments of music in what is called to be Christian worship. From whence did it originate? It came not from the New Testament, therefore, where did it come from? The first organ introduced into worship of any body of people claiming to be Christians was 670 years after the Lord's Church was established. It was introduced by Pope Vitalian I. It threatened division in the Roman Catholic Church and was moved to preserve unity. 800 years after Christ, the organ was reintroduced into the Roman Church and over opposition. The Greek Church refused it and still refuses it today. In the American Encyclopedia, Volume 7, page 688, it is stated, and I quote, Pope Vitalian is related to have introduced organs into some of the churches of Southern Europe, A.D. 670. But the only trustworthy account is that of one sent as a present by the Greek Emperor Constantine to Peking, King of Franks, in 775. The churches of Christ are not alone in refusing the use of mechanical instruments of music in worship. Many of the world's great religious leaders and Bible scholars have opposed its use in worship. Among the Orthodox Catholic Apostolic Eastern Church, with its thousands of communicants, the Greek Orthodox Church, older than the Roman Church, has never used instruments in its worship. John Calvin, a great Protestant reformer, and one of the founders of the Presbyterian Church, said, and I quote from Calvin's commentary, the 33rd Psalm, "Musical instruments in celebrating the praise of God would be no more suitable than the burning of incense, the lighting up of the lamps, and the restoration of other shadows of the law." Calvin's conclusion would mean that there would be just as much authority for the use of burnt offerings and sacrifices of blood of animals or other practices under the old law, as there would be for the use of mechanical instruments of music in Christian worship. John Wesley, a Protestant reformer and the founder of the Methodist Church, when asked about the use of mechanical instruments of music in worship, replied, and I quote, "I have no opposition to the organ in our chapel, provided it is neither seen nor heard." Clark's Commentary, Volume 4, page 686. Adam Clark, a Methodist, and one of the best Bible commentators, said, and I quote from Clark's Commentary, Volume 7, page 686, "I am an old man and a minister, and I declare that I never knew them, mechanical instruments, productive of any good in the worship of God, and I have reason to believe that they were productive of much evil. Music as a science I esteem and admire, but instruments of music in the house of God I abominate and abhor. This is the abuse of music, and I here register my protest against all such corruption in the worship of the infinite Spirit, who requires his followers to worship him in spirit and in truth." End of quotation. Clark furthermore declared, "The Church of Rome and every country where it prevails or exists has so blended a pretended Christian devotion with heathenish and Jewish rites and ceremonies, two parts of which are borrowed from pagan Rome, the third from Jewish ritual ill understood and grossly misrepresented, and the fourth part from other corruptions of the Christian system. Nor is the Protestant Church yet fully freed from a variety of matters in public worship, which savors little of that simplicity and spirituality which should ever designate the worship of that infinite pure Spirit, which cannot be pleased with anything incorporated with his worship that has not a direct tendency to lead the heart from the earth and sensual things to heaven, and to that holiness without which none shall see the Lord. The singing is practiced in several places, and the heathenish accompaniments of organs and musical instruments of various sorts are as contrary to the simplicity of the gospel and the spirituality of that worship which God requires as darkness is contrary to light. And if the abuses are not corrected, I believe the time is not far distant when singing will cease to be a part of divine worship. It is now, in many places, such as cannot be said to be any part of that worship which is in spirit and according to the truth. May God amend it." That quotation was from Christian Theology by Adam Clark, page 248. What a strong indictment against instrumental music in worship! Truly a warning against innovations which corrupt the true worship of God. Another influential religious leader was Charles Spurgeon, a great Baptist minister. For 20 years he preached in the Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle in London, England, to 10,000 people every Sunday. Never were the mechanical instruments used in their services. When asked why he did not use the organ in his services, he first quoted 1 Corinthians 14:15, which says, "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. and I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Then Mr. Spurgeon added, I would as soon to pray to God with machinery as to sing to God with machinery. End of quotation. Andrew Fuller, one of the most respected Bible commentators in the Baptist Church, wrote the following declaration concerning the use of mechanical instruments of music in worship. He said, and I quote, The New Testament speaks of praising God by singing, but further it says not. Paul speaks more than once in his epistles to the Corinthians of instruments of music, but not as being used in religion. He described them as necessary to war, but not to worship. He speaks of them in a language of degradation, as things without life-giving sound. The history of the church during the first 3 centuries affords many instances of primitive Christians engaging in singing, but no mention that I recollect is made of instruments. Even in the time of Constantine, when everything grand and magnificent was introduced into Christian worship, I find no mention made of instrumental music. If my memory does not deceive me, it originated in the Dark Ages of Popery, where almost every other superstition are most prevalent and where the last regard is paid to primitive simplicity. Quotation from Works of Andrew Fuller, Volume 8, page 520. Stronger opposition could hardly be found among Bible scholars and commentators. These quotations from eminent Bible scholars and religious leaders, representing different denominations, serve as the assurance of the fact that churches of Christ are not alone in contending that originally the New Testament worship was without the use of mechanical instruments of music. These quotations, however, are not given as reasons why churches of Christ do not use instruments of music in worship today. With Christians, it is a matter of faith. Worship, in order to be scriptural and acceptable worship, must be according to the New Testament pattern by the divine authority of Christ. Any subtraction or additions of the worship not authorized by Jesus Christ are forbidden. It is the desire and purpose of Christians to worship in spirit and according to the truth, as enjoined by Christ in John 4, verses 22 through 24. The truth of the New Testament does not include the use of instrumental music in worship. Therefore, churches of Christ do not use it. Efforts are made to justify the use of mechanical instruments of music in worship by appealing to the Old Testament law. It is obviously known to any Bible student that instruments were used in Old Testament times in some cases, although not used in the tabernacle and synagogues. The Jews did not use mechanical instruments of music in the tabernacle and synagogue worship, although it was used in the temple. Church Music in History and Practice, page 15, by Winfred C. Douglas states, and I quote, The synagogue music was an adoption without musical instruments of the temple music. End of quotation. In McClintock and Strong Encyclopedia, Volume 6, page 762, it is stated, The instruments were never used in ancient worship. End of quotation. The instrument was first used in the Jewish synagogue in Berlin in 1815 under violent opposition by many of its members. An appeal was made to the civil authorities, and its use was prohibited until the year 1818. Then, when it was used, the Jews were not allowed to play the instrument. A non-Jewish organist was employed. The Jews in the United States first introduced the organ in their worship in 1840 in Charleston, South Carolina. The opposition was bitter. By a majority of vote, 46-40, the use of instruments was adopted. The matter was carried into court, but the court's decision was given in favor of the majority. The case was appealed, but lost again in the year of 1846. During Old Testament times, it must be observed that other practices were approved, such as circumcision, burnt offerings, sacrifices of blood of bulls and goats, burning incense, observing the Sabbath day, and other rituals. But such are no part of Christian worship today. The Church of our Lord is a New Testament institution. We have a new covenant, a new law. With the blood of Christ as an atonement for sins, with Christ as its mediator and the apostles as its ministers. That is positively no New Testament authority for mechanical instruments of music in Christian worship. The old law was abrogated by reason of the death of Jesus on the cross, and the new law was given instead. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change of the law. And again in Hebrews verse 13, chapter 8. In that he saith the new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. Many other references affirming the fact that we are not under the old law, but under the New Testament law, could be cited. Surely these are sufficient. The Lord Jesus, the author of the new religion, the author and finisher of our faith, as revealed in Hebrews 12:2, did not see fit to include instrumental music either as a part of or an aid to Christian worship. The faith of which Christ is the author was once for all delivered unto the saints. Jude 3. Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Christian worship must be regulated by the law of faith. Romans 3, verse 27. Instrumental music in worship is not included in the law of faith. Therefore, instrumental music cannot be used in worship by faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Instrumental music cannot be substantiated by the authority of Christ in the word of God. Therefore, instrumental music in worship is without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Mechanical instruments of music in worship is not within the realm of faith. Therefore, instrumental music in worship cannot please God. The command of God for Christians to worship, without exception, is sing. Never did he say play or merely make music. The command is sing. The music is subordinate to the singing. We obey the command, sing, and the music is thereby produced. If God had simply said, make music, then we could choose to make any kind of music we desire. But he didn't say that. He told us the kind of music, vocal music, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, he said, Ephesians 5:19. Question. Does the doctrine of Christ include instrumental music and worship? Every preacher and every Bible student of every denomination should know that neither Christ nor his apostles ever authorized such practice. Therefore, it must be concluded that instruments of music and worship is without God's authority and without God. We must respect the authority of Christ without addition or subtraction. The apostle declared, and these are most serious words, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. 2 John 9. To abide not in the teaching of Christ is to do so without God. Hath not God is an irreparable consequence of going beyond the Word of God. Surely we